Hello, Sharks fans. I'm Dan Rusinowski. You are listening to another Teal Town podcast.
Well, what's up, Sharks fans? Hey, San Jose pulls a 3-1 victory away from the Calgary Flames tonight at SAP Center. Welcome into Teal Town USA After Dark. So let's get into it, shall we?
Here it comes.
Well, you know, I'm actually I can pull down, or I'm hearing extra audio in the background, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Trying to clean that up for some reason. I don't understand why I'm pulling that down, but whatever happens, gonna happen. So let's get into this one. To start things off, we got Joakim Ryan coming back into the fold after Timmy Heed played the last game. The return of Tomas Hertl after three games. Jones back in net after the world's okayest goalie got a shot at it versus St. Louis. And Logan Couture's 600th game. So I am AJ Strong, and with me tonight, Eric Landy. How are you?
Doing all right. Hey, glad to see the Sharks pull one out. A little touch and go. It was kind of a weird game to watch. Very stalemate-ish on both ends. But, yeah, good win for the guys.
Yeah, so, don't worry, Dave. I'll be banging on it. Obviously, this one starts off great for the Sharks. 50 seconds into the game, Kane gets his sixth goal of the season from Pavs and Donskoy. Bizarrely enough, looking this up in the stats, Pavelski's first assist of the season, if you can believe that. This is Kane's second goal in his last three games. Top shelf, just right from kind of the Ovechkin's office, if you will. So 50 seconds into this, as a Sharks fan, you're probably feeling pretty good, especially after the two stinkers they laid on the road in Dallas and St. Louis. So and Calgary comes into this going for their sixth win in seven games. What did you think about Kane's shot and like just that opening line to start things off now that you're seeing Donskoy up with Pavs and Kane?
Yeah, I thought it was we started to see a little bit of chemistry with that line, especially because of Hurdle going out. You know, I thought we started to see them kind of gel back together again, which is good. It was good to see. And it was really good to see Kane take that wicked shot. And you know, I think, yes, what was it, game against the Stars, where, you know, he just gets that kind of tap in, kind of really trickler of a goal. Maybe it really did help out his confidence.
Yeah, potentially so. Then you got at 18:07 of the first, Valimaki trips Kane on that power play. You know, some nice chances. What happened to Burns on the left side in Ovechkin's office? Like, that was working really well for a while. I'm not sure why the Sharks have gotten away from that on the power play, but after one, that's where it stands. Sharks up 1-0. Then a minute and a half into the second, you get Donskoy getting his fourth from Kane behind the net. Very reminiscent. If you've been around the block with this Sharks team, you're going to look at that goal, Kane dishing to Donskoy from behind the net, and you go, that seems like deja vu. It feels like I've seen Jumbo do that 1,000 times on the power play.
Right.
And Pavelski getting his second assist of the season on that one. So already the top line, or I shouldn't say the top line, but the line of Pavelski, Donskoy, and Kane, all of them all have 2 points on the night inside of a minute and a half into the second. How did you like that feed from Kane? I mean, were you kind of thinking the same thing? Like, God, I really miss when Thornton used to do that.
Yeah, I thought Kane did an awesome job kind of getting a really good perspective to the net. And I really liked kind of that instinctual pass from Kane to Donskoy. It was very much like second nature. And, you know, I think that those guys have some chemistry. But the thing with Jumbo is he can do that with anybody. He doesn't have to have chemistry with, you know, with the person he's actually passing to. He's just that good. He knows like where that person's going to be. But it's nice to see that Kane and Donskoy getting back that familiarity that they had last season.
Yeah. It really did kind of make you go, oh, I remember this. This was fun to watch at one point.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to talk to you too about something that was kind of interesting. Boy, was it me or did Braun and Vlasic just look like they had it tonight? Like they were the Braun and Vlasic of old, where they were just shutting down guys. I mean, you know, Monahan threw up his stick in a couple different times with frustration. Gaudreau was, you know, kind of pouting a little bit. Like they couldn't seem like they mustered a lot. And it was good to see Braun and Vlasic really kick up the you know, I guess twist the screws on those guys.
Yes. Yes. No, I always like watching Vlasic and Braun. I mean, they, you know, chemistry happens for a reason and they have it. So 3:37 into the second, Jankowski trips Gaudreau. Sharks go on the power play. For me, a little too much passing, not enough crashing. And so that at that point would take the Sharks, I believe, to being 1-19, 1 for 9 for their last 19 chances. And we'll get to that in a little bit. At 6:02, Monahan after, oh man, Erik Karlsson blows a tire in the neutral. Monahan blows by and you just go, oh boy. You know, it's like, here we go again. Everybody's going to dump on Erik Karlsson. And even Kevin Kurz on Twitter talking about, you know, for every one good play he makes, he seems to give up two the other way. But what, I mean, there's not a lot of goalies that are going to stop that, you know, that shot from Monahan.
Right. And I didn't really think that was honestly that egregious. You know, I felt like, I don't know, I guess I've seen worse plays and I kind of knew what Erik Karlsson was trying to do there. He was trying to quickly, you know, up the puck and get off on a change. And, you know, you could see his mind kind of moving, I guess quicker than his skates were actually able to take him, because, you know, after he kind of got the idea, okay, this is what I'm going to do, he blows that tire and then Monahan's just off to the races. Like you said, there was nothing Jones could have done there. It's point blank and, you know, it's 2-0. You know, what more you can say?
Well, and when he blows that tire, you have to wonder to yourself, is he going, God damn, I really miss Ottawa ice.
You know, and to be quite honest, like his best game that we've seen him play was against, I thought Dallas, he was very good against Dallas. And I thought the game prior to that when they were, I don't know, it was one of the away games where it just looked like he was just really good. And I was still wondering if maybe his Achilles is still bothering him just a little bit.
That, I mean, who knows, but when I saw him blow that tire, I in the back of my mind, I just felt like he was probably going, oh, this ice is horrible. But anyway,
and that's actually something that we should bring up though. He had to get, his Achilles worked on over the summer, which was not really widely reported. And, you know, he's going to have a kind of like Jumbo where it's invasive kind of surgery, you know, being done, and it's going to take a little bit for you to get back.
But and it's not as if Erik Karlsson is the first person to blow a tire in that situation. You know what I mean? It's not like he invented it there. But a couple minutes later, you get Thornton almost banking one in right in front of, you know, noted Sharks killer Mike Smith. Oh, but comes this close. Then you have Kane and Donskoy on a 2-0 breakaway, unfortunately not able to put it in, but that's the way the second would end. And let's, before we get into the third here, I just want to welcome to the show. We do this live and interactive for all the newbies out there. We go live and do this after every single Sharks game. So if you can help us out, hit that subscribe button, hit the little notification bell. You'll get notified every time we go live, because sometimes we also go live for other rare things. So help us out. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. We're on all the social media channels, Teal Town USA, and the website, tealtownusa.com. So do us a favor, hit that up. And 240p, what's going on? I'm even looking at that over here, wondering why I'm blurry. That's odd. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm coming in fairly good, but yeah.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, I mean, you can drop off and then let me, you know, hop back on.
I'm fine. It's all about the, let's be honest, it's all about the it's all about the audio portion anyway.
Hey, so, somebody's got to play the role of Eric Kura.
Right. So, yes. Yeah, for those of you who watch, you know, during tonight's performance, the role of Eric Kura will be played by AJ Strong.
Right. So,
350, I know, usually I have the best, you know, the best stream. I don't know what's going on tonight. Looking at my memory, is good, but who knows? Who knows? You know what? Let me do one more thing here and see if this helps things out. Hold on. Hold on one second. I'm so sorry about this, but, you know, sometimes things happen. Take care of that. Let me take care of this. And, okay. So, if it gets better, it gets better. Get off that dial-up. I know. You know what it is. It's probably someone next door. Okay, I don't even want to. Anyway, it is what it is. 3:15 into the third. Monahan trips Meyer. Meyer gets a call for embellishment.
Oh, my
this,
goodness.
To me, was ridiculous. I don't even know how they call embellishment there, Eric.
And I have a pet theory kind of going on right now, and indulge me a little bit, AJ. I'm wondering if the refs, all of the refs, are still a little butthurt about Vlasic embellishing and kind of showing them up. And I'm wondering if that's why they haven't drawn as many penalties lately. Seem like a lot of calls haven't been going their way. And we know that the refs kind of have a little bit of a union together, and they have books on players. I'm just saying. Put my tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not buying that, but I mean, I can see where you're coming from. But to me, I hate the idea where the whole thing where they call a trip and then they call embellishment, we get 4-on-4, but to me it's kind of like, you know what, call it one way or the other, because and to me, I still look at that play and I'm like, that's easily a trip. I don't even understand where they're seeing the embellishment from, but if it's going to be embellishment and you're going to make that call, then give Calgary a power play because he's embellishing, you know. But if it's an actual trip, then it should be a trip. Either way, I think that's something we could get into for quite some time, so I'll move on. At 7:38 of the third, Giordano would go to the box for hooking Pavelski. Sharks lose the opening faceoff, and it was just way too much passing, no crashing during that power play. And so now we're up to 1-for-20 on the power play, which, again, we'll get to in just a little bit more. 3 minutes later, Bennett for the Calgary Flames would get a penalty shot when Dylan takes a hack at him to try to stop a breakaway, and Jones would stone him, and Jones, to me, would really finish this game off. He was the game's top star tonight, but Jones really kind of put the lockdown. I mean, he robbed Jankowski with about 6 minutes left. You can't say enough good things about Jones tonight. I don't know if getting the game off 2 days ago was helped him out, but Jones, for a lot of the crap that he's taken over the last 6, 7, 8 games, really had a good outing tonight.
I thought Jones played an outstanding game. He honestly looked like he got his confidence back, and you know, he was fronting pucks. You know, we're seeing the pucks come off his shoulders. And like I was saying before, I maybe wasn't sure if he was playing like maybe a little hurt or he's got, you know, something going on, because, you know, he just seemed like he wasn't himself, like he was kind of afraid of the puck. And so, you know, it was really good to see him to bounce back and, yeah, save their bacon quite a bit tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he finishes the night 29 saves on 30 shots, a 967 save percentage. You got to like that. Meanwhile, Mike Smith, noted Sharks killer, I believe, like 929 save percentage. So, and obviously the empty netter at the end of the game doesn't go against him. But, I mean, it was a really good goaltending duo tonight. And we, you know, Mike Smith has history. He loves playing the Sharks for some reason.
Oh, and I know that, you know, Mike Smith was also having some issues. He's been having a little bit of consistency issues. He's been having a little bit of health issues. What's new with him? But, you know, it always seems like he puts on his best game against the Sharks. And I'm wondering if he was got a contract offer, like rescinded from the Sharks, or like, you know, something, because it's like he's got something against us.
And I mean, and this is a great game for the Sharks, because, you know, Calgary, they're a spot in front of them in the standing. So this is going to be a good test and a great way to start a, you know, the longest home game or home stand for the Sharks this season with 6 games. So we get a little bit further into the third. There was no Couture in this game for the last 8 minutes. Didn't really hear any reason as to why that was, but that's happened. Melker, bizarrely enough, gets slotted in. I was a little surprised it wasn't Goodrow, but maybe that had to do with the righty-lefty matchup deal. But at least they're trying to give some way to goose Melker, because, I mean, God, he's like pointless. And when I say pointless, I don't mean like he's a, like, why do we have him on there? I'm saying like he doesn't have any points. I should probably clear that up. He might have an assist. But when I say pointless, yeah, I probably should have, phrasing, should have figured that out. The Sharks would catch a break late in the third. I don't know about you. I think Kane, with about a minute left, Kane should have gotten called for delay of game, knocking the puck out. And I almost kind of felt like, Eric, that, you know, sometimes the karma pendulum swings the other way. I didn't think it was going to swing that quickly back the other way, because when Kane didn't get the penalty, I was like, boom, that's karma for the embellishment call on Meyer earlier.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, that was clear on the replay. He bats that out of midair directly into the, into the netting, and the Sharks dodged a bullet there. It was funny because Tam was like, wasn't that supposed to be a penalty? I'm like, yep. And it's like, you know, I could not believe why, you know, that the refs all missed that. So if I were on the Calgary bench, I would have been irate.
Yeah. But again, it's that idea of, you know, maybe not the official's best night. I mean, two kind of really blown calls tonight, but at least it was one for each team.
Right, exactly. I wanted to quickly address something that's going on in the chat. Yeah, Logan left in the third period. What ended up happening was he spun around. Spun around, and he was lunging out for the puck, and then he fell. He was trying to get it back to the blue line, and he kind of fell, like, on his hip. So we'll have to watch out for Couture. Probably not a big deal. It didn't look like he limped off or anything like that. But he probably racked himself up a little bit.
Yeah. Hopefully we see him back for the next game. You know, and you're going to need him with Nashville coming. I mean, best team in the NHL right now, so that's going to be tough. With 19 to just 50 seconds left in the third, they would pull Smitty to try to, you know, get the extra attacker out there. Wouldn't work. 50 seconds left. Pavelski would go top shelf, guaranteeing now that everybody on the Pavelski line tonight got a goal between him, Donskoy, and Kane. And it seems like this is the first game in, like, I don't know, 12 that we didn't see somebody from Couture, Meyer, and Hurdle pot a goal. That was interesting. This is also the first time in 10 games that the Sharks surrendered less than 3 goals, if you can believe that. But let me just throw this out here. This popped into my head earlier when I saw what the power play numbers were. Oh, and speaking of which, we're talking about power play. There's your little drum banging. 1 for 20 right now. Would you like to just guess where 1 for 20 began?
I know that we haven't been drawing a lot of penalties lately, so I'm guessing schedule here. I can tell you.
No. You don't have to go through it. Let me just throw out the coincidence, okay? Anaheim. When the Sharks played Anaheim, in that game they went 0 for 2. Since then, they played New York 0 for 2, or I should say the Rangers 0 for 2. Blue Jackets 0 for 3. Philadelphia 1 for 3. So the one time they got one versus Philadelphia. Minnesota, they didn't actually get on the power play at all.
Right.
And 0 for 3 versus Dallas. 0 for 4 versus St. Louis. Tonight was, what was it, 0 for 2?
I want 0 for 2, yeah.
Yeah, no, 0 for 3. 0 for 3. I'm sorry. So let me get that down. So 1 for 20. What else happened over that stretch? We got a particular player back. versus the Rangers. Joe Thornton returned to the team.
Yeah.
Since Joe Thornton has come back, the Sharks have scored one power play goal in 18 chances.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying it's Jumbo's fault. I'm just saying fun coincidence, fun fact, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that kind of coincides with that second power play unit being rejiggered. And it's interesting because I did want to bring up the power play. There's kind of three different looks that they put out there. The first look is Logan with LeBanc and Burns, and then who else is it? I think it's Pavelski and Hurdle. Then the second look is with Thornton. It's with Kane, Meyer, and then sometimes they have Pavelski like stay out there for an extra shift, and they'll have Erik Karlsson on there. Or they'll put in, they'll sometimes put Burns and Karlsson together, and that's kind of like that third wrinkle. And so it's a little interesting because it seems like they're not really set on one defensive style yet, one defensive pairing that's going to be their number one pair. Like there's a little bit of indecisiveness there between whether they're going to roll out the the Karlsson-Burns pair. And have kind of Burnsy move up into that left wing slot and then bring a forward down. But it is interesting. It's interesting to see how they're being deployed. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong if you haven't seen this before, but they tend to put out that Karlsson and Burns pairing when the faceoff is in the left circle or to the left of the goaltender. So they can get Burnsy set up for that one time, but they don't deploy it fully like that.
Yeah. Well, and I was saying that earlier in my notes that, you know, on the power play, I was like, wait a minute, why is Burns not on the left? Why is he not in Ovechkin's office? And again, the Sharks went on a great stretch with six games, didn't, you know, picked up a point in six straight games. Thornton came back. They've been hit and miss. And like I said, and Chris is saying, you know, it's a coincidence more than anything. It also took a nosedive last year from 22 to 17% when he got injured. I get that, but I'm just saying fun fact. It's just a fact. I'm not saying that's the reason why Sharks are 1-for-20. Just saying fun fact that that's happened. Another fun fact, though, the Sharks are not crashing like they used to. Now, granted, tonight the second goal came from Donskoy getting that beautiful dish from Kane behind the net. So at least there was that. Might see a little bit more crashing of the net. I hope there was a few times, though. However, they go back to their old ways. They go to that low percentage shot from the blue line. It's one and done. It goes wide, bounces off the boards, and now it's good. You know, the Flames get on the transition, and now it's going the other way. I would just like to see the Sharks get it into the slot, take it low. The Meyer did that a couple times tonight, and, you know, look at the success he's had. The other thing I wanted to note as well, the Sharks, about 14 minutes into this game, they were 28% in the circle. It was bad. Now, it ended up finishing about 50-50, Sharks 49, Flames 51, but it did not start off well, my friends.
It was not good.
Yeah, so now checking in from, you know, Shark Studio East Bay, but he was at the game tonight.
Yeah.
One Mr. Puck Guy 14, Erik Kura, how goes it?
Hey, I'm glad you guys were able to fill in for me with the AOL and blurring and all that fun stuff. So good to hear you in there. Hey, it was a great night out of the tank, full-on crowd of 17,562. The place was...
Is that what it really was?
Yeah, you know what? I'll say yes. It was pretty full in there, maybe here and there. You know, I had Puck Mom with me, and she wanted to upgrade the seats, so we went down to the lower bowl, so which was nice. And I think we sat behind a couple of the players' girlfriends and such. So definitely a lot of familiar faces I kind of seen through the Instagram posts. But a great crowd on hand. They definitely had the military appreciation night all the way through. They recognized everybody in, that served, along with a World War II veteran that was at the game, and he got a rousing ovation. And then the jerseys that the guys wore in warmups were going like hotcakes. I think our friend Mitch Amaya, I think he grabbed a Arundel mask that he's going to be wearing the next couple of weeks for quite a bit of money. That hey Mitch, if you're watching, there is a Ray Whitney jersey that you can sell to offset that a little bit.
Let it go.
But all in all, a great time out there. Where did I put it? I did pick up a new puck, the Jumbo 1500 Games puck.
Nice.
It was really nice, and definitely getting some Christmas ideas from the Shark store for sure. But a good crowd on hand this evening, where this place was kind of hopping, especially when you get on the board so early into a game. Even though Mike Smith had some great saves, Jones had some phenomenal saves in the third period to keep this game going, as you guys mentioned earlier. But a great night at the Tank for sure.
Awesome.
And again, I want to welcome in the newbies. I know that Brody and Kyle just went off the air. So for the 50 of you watching, do us a favor, especially if you're new here, hit the subscribe button if you would please. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and make sure to hit that notification bell to be notified every time we go live. We do it after every Sharks game, but every once in a while we get a little silly and decide to, jump on again from time to time to do something fun, something rare, something interesting. So that's the way to do it. Hit us up on the Soch if you would please. So aside from that, I guess... Landy, I'll go back to you for kind of your final thoughts on this game. I mean, is there anything else that stood out for you? And I mean, I know you mentioned Braun earlier. Is there anybody else that you kind of go, I'm impressed,
Yeah, I felt Jumbo had a really good game tonight. I felt like his speed was starting to come back. And at the end, in the third period, they put Jumbo and Pavs back together with Kane on the other side. And it looks like maybe they're trying to slowly integrate that back together again, which would be interesting to see. And we get Suomela off the fourth line and put him back on the third line. Be nice to maybe see him with LeBanc and Donsman.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this is. I mean, actually, Suomela, I mean, if you lay it out the way you would consider, it's like Suomela was fourth line tonight with Goodrow and Melker. I don't care who, what anybody says to me. Top line for this team is Hertl, Couture, and Meyer, and Pavs, Donskoy, and Kane, Thornton, LeBanc, and Sorensen. I did like seeing Donskoy up there with Pavs and Kane after seeing him for so long with Suomela. I thought Donskoy... that entire line. I mean, that's who made up all the goals tonight. So, I mean, well done, PDB, for putting that together. The other guy that I kind of saw, I mean, not a whole lot from, but at least a better outing than we've seen recently, was Joakim Ryan getting like 13 minutes tonight after getting benched versus Dallas and scratched versus St. Louis. So nice to see Joakim Ryan and we've seen this before with a couple players that PDB has shown the bench to. He sat Suomela for a game. Suomela comes back, gets his first goal at home. Earlier in the season, we saw Charche sat down. He comes back, gets his first NHL goal ever. So, fantastic. Your final thoughts, Kura, and what you liked and didn't like from the game tonight?
I think the strong outing from Martin Jones outside the Carlson slip up, we're talking about a shutout here for Jones for something that he really needs. Another thing that we've mentioned in past shows, guys, is this team has had a rough time allowing more than three goals or more. So tonight's, I think, like, what did I mention, AJ? It's like the Islanders.
First time in 10 games.
First time in 10 games. I mean, that's a huge nod to them playing defensively sound. Landy, I think you mentioned how Vlasic and Braun were looked more like Vlasic and Braun, and I completely agree with you on that. They look pretty solid on the night with each other, and I think there's the team is the guys are starting to come together, and they just need to build the chemistry for this homestand. I mean, this is 1 of 6. They keep it going. They'll be in really good shape once they need to head on the road again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just quickly, I want to go over it right now. The Sharks sit at 10th in goals allowed. I mean, they're sitting at 55 goals allowed, which is 10th.
But where do they sit at save percentage?
Save percentage is pretty low, but, you know, their game was kind of ailing a little bit. They were letting in a lot of goals. It doesn't matter whether you slice it defensively or you slice it, you know, via save percentage. It just was not good.
Yeah. And yeah, can't be said enough that Jones did bail them out quite a few times tonight. In Eric pointing out, you know, this is the time to get your act together. This is the time to like figure out what the deal is with Carlson, figure out the power play. You got 5 more at home over the next couple of weeks. And these are not easy games, my friends. You got Nashville coming in, best team in the NHL. After that, Toronto coming in. We know what they can do. And, you know, Toronto right now, though, kind of on a lull. 5-5 over their last 10, but Nashville killing it, 8-2 over their last 10. Then you get St. Louis coming in. I would hope the Sharks are going to, you know, want a little bit of retribution for that stinker they threw at Enterprise Center last, you know, over the weekend. And that'll be the 100th time in franchise history for the Sharks that they've faced the Blues. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a puck on sale for that. No kidding. And then you get Edmonton and Vancouver. I'm sorry, Edmonton and the Canucks. So they and, you know, and Edmonton is that Jekyll and Hyde of a team. You never know who you're going to get. And, you know, the Canucks, as much as I hate to admit it, are the top team in the Pacific, just like we all said they'd be a month and a half ago. So, oh, gosh. It's going to be fun. And then after this homestand is done, talk about a weird scheduling quirk. The Sharks get like they play 7 games and 6 of those are back to backs. It's like Tuesday, Wednesday, then Saturday, Sunday, then Wednesday, then Friday, Saturday. So, you know, interesting.
Look who crawled out of the woodwork. Davalos playing the parade.
Well, you know what it is? It's because we mentioned the Canucks. That's what right. You said Canucks 3 times, and he, you know, immediately, you know, comes out of the woodwork for some reason.
Yeah, it's good to see him. We haven't seen him in a while.
One thing is I see him on right now, Skylar Greenbrook. Shout out to you, saw you in the first intermission. Great to meet you. One of those one of our lawyer viewers.
Yes. I met him at a game a couple weeks ago. So, yes. Very cool. So, again, Nashville coming to town. You talk about a litmus test. And Nashville probably still has to feel. You know that a coach is reminding them of the last time the Sharks played them where they had, what was it, like a 3-0 lead and ended up losing 5-4 on a ridiculously awesome comeback from the Sharks. So, that's what you have to look forward to on Tuesday. Is there anything of note happening? Like tonight was military night. Is there any particular giveaway, something?
They had a Sharks military sign that they handed out, and the other side had the flag that we all held up prior to during the national anthems. So
okay, that's not what I asked, but okay. I said, is anything of note for the Nashville game coming up?
Oh, Nashville?
Anything that you're aware of? Okay, no, I mean, no biggie. I know, like, we have Hockey Fights Cancer Mystery Pucks coming up on the 17th versus St. Louis.
Practice Pucks, too.
St. Louis. Practice Pucks, yep.
November 13th is the Are You Not Entertained shirt pack.
Ah, okay. So go on Ticketmaster. You can pick that up. And so with that, I do believe it's time to talk about something that not a lot of people are talking about for some reason. I mean, can we please? San Jose Barracuda right now, 9-3-0-1. Now, granted, last couple games, not their best. They were rolling pretty good there. But Tucson is, you know, there's a reason why Tucson is, you know, first in the Pacific and the Barracuda are second. But I look forward to, now we talk about promos. Remember, next Sunday, Cleveland Barons night. And if you head down to the tank, you're going to get a replica jersey, Cleveland Barons jersey. So, I mean, you want to have a good time next Sunday. Do not sleep on this Barracuda team right now because they are a lot of fun to watch.
And right. that's for the first 4,000 fans in the building at 5 p.m. next Sunday, taking on the Colorado Eagles.
Yeah, what is that? It's a 5 o'clock start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there you go. Don't sleep on the CUDA. Go check them out. And I think it's about that time.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
And so with that,
it's wrap around.
Hey, tell yourself what you need to, buddy. We will start in St. Louis, where the 500 Blues, 6-6-3, go down to the Minnesota Wild. You know, it's the Wild. I'm still upset about that loss. I'm upset about the loss to the Blues a couple days ago. So, either way, I really don't even care about that game. The Panthers beat the Uber taking Senators 5-1. Reimer picking up the victory in that. And nothing of note. You know, Barkov pulls a couple. Okay, good for him, but no hat tricks. Big deal. The Desert Dogs. Oh hold on. Mm-hmm. The Desert Dogs beat the defending Stanley Cup champions 4-1 in the nation's capital. Holtby taking the loss on that one. Then we head to the peg, where the Jets would be victorious 5-2 over the Devils. Hellebuck, Hella would get another victory. Jeez, and Shifley nets too. Shifley is starting to get on fire a little bit, it feels like.
Yeah, and talk about the Devils, man. What a Jekyll and Hyde team they've been this year.
There's a couple that have been Jekyll and Hyde. What do you mean, did AJ mean stars? I don't even know what you're talking about. Anyway, we move on. The Golden Knights, the losing record Golden Knights, lose another one. 4-1 in Beantown. Halak getting the victory in that one. It's not just me, right, that's getting a kick out of seeing the Golden Knights come back to Earth? I'm just saying. The Avalanche would go 4-1 over the Oilers. Talbot getting the loss in that one. Varlamov getting the victory. Again, Oilers, you talk about a Jekyll and Hyde team. You never know what you're going to get. So, and then, of course, Flames go down 3-1 to the Sharks. So that is your...
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
There you go.
Not a reach around.
I mean, outside of Nashville and Winnipeg and maybe even Minnesota now, it seems like most of the Western Conference has kind of come back down to earth a little bit. You know, I'm just looking at Colorado's.
Look at the points. It's only 7 points between first and seventh in the Pacific. You know, that's one good week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking at the points between us and Nashville. It's 5 points. But I mean, it's just interesting to see how the season's shaping out right now.
Yeah. So with that, I think we can just about get out of here. But before we do, again, I want to remind the people watching right now, thank you very much for joining us. We do this live after every single game, so do us a favor. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and the website, tealtownusa.com. You can catch us all there. All that you can see right there. All the social media channels are available to you. And if you find one that we're not on, let us know. Slide into our DMs at tealtownusa, and we'll try to figure out how we can get on there. Spotify, I don't know what we can do. Those guys are a little jacked up is what I'm saying. But other than that, so let's get into the – in fact, Lance saying you need to check the chat more, guys. I totally agree with you, and that's usually what we save this last part for. So if you have something to say on the chat that you would like us to discuss, please add it now. And because I tried to keep an eye on it. Boy, James Neal's fallen off a planet, hasn't he?
Oh, I know. I know.
Just another just another Randy G. Wow, Vegas having their worst season in franchise history.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Who said that, girl?
Just another Randy G.
Good for you, dude. That's a good one. I like that.
Did you see Sharky hit the shark head with the ATV?
I didn't. I was paying attention with the video, but Skylar was talking about it when we met up for intermission, and apparently I guess he kept the machine revved up. Hopefully the shark head made it through concussion protocol. But Skylar did mention that they needed a couple of people out there to make sure to stabilize the shark head to avoid it shaking as the guys were coming out on the ice.
Nice. You can take the graphic down, by the way.
Sorry. Well,
we also have a new
me actually.
We also have a new Felix's Hockey Takes on the website at tealtownusa.com. So go check that out. Congrats on the anniversary. Thank you very much. That was last night. Good for me. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. What else we got? Ice Girls would ruin it all. Yeah. You know, 4 years of that and they ruin it every time. No, I'm kidding. Fact or fiction.
Oh, wow.
Vegas misses the postseason. Well, I would have said fiction last year. So this year, I'm not saying a word about it. I'm not saying a word about Vegas.
I'm going to give them the reverse juju, the fiction.
Oh, I'm going slow roll on that one. as long as the shark head was okay, that's fine. AJ looks better with the goatee. Why, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Kevin Lacey, speaking of scheduling clerks, the Barracuda only have one game between last night's game that they lost to Tucson to between now and the day after Thanksgiving.
What?
That one game that's the Cleveland Barons night is the only game they have until after Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh. This whole Western realignment thing is so weird. They need to get them more games.
Yeah, that is weird. They play on the 10th, then the 18th and the 23rd. I mean, three games over a week and a half is a little silly, but hey, welcome to the NHL, kids.
Right.
Let's see. I think Vegas misses the playoffs, says Davalos. Well, he's also a Canucks supporter, so take that for what you will. I'm kidding.
And the Canucks are making the Western Conference final this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, versus Florida.
Hey, Landy.
Yeah, what's up?
Where do the Canucks play?
Vancouver.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Sorry, Steve Vancouver.
You sons of bitches.
Yes!
And with that, it's time to go. Let's wrap it up. I'm not even kidding you guys. So go check out the Barracuda. I'm not even lying. But we got five more games on the docket. Tuesday, Nashville, Thursday. I'm appreciating that the Sharks are getting back into their Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday routine, because every time they play on an off day like this, where they play on a Sunday, it always feels like tomorrow's going to be Sunday for some reason. So, yeah, let's get back into that. Always throws off my schedule. What else we got going on?
Oh, thank you to all the veterans.
Yes. Thank you, of course, to all the veterans. A couple other dates of note, if you're a Shark fan, Shark collectible. The 23rd, when the Sharks will be playing the Canucks, the Sharks Foundation is going to have a bag. Now, this is not cheap, $250. And they also have a $1,000 version, which can be purchased online, but $250. You can go to sharksfoundation.org, I believe is the website, but you get this really nice duffel bag. You get an autographed stealth puck. You get a Sharks deck of cards, a journal, a blanket, a EK9 bobblehead, a trinket box. Not really sure what a trinket box is, but you get one. I think one or two. Oh, a Bluetooth speaker. You get, you know, there's like 13 goodies in there. Sharksfoundation.org has all the details, but the $250 one can only be purchased at the 23rd game versus the Canucks. Another fun game of note, if you're a collector of trinkets and what have you, Thursday, December 20th, right? Yes, Thursday, December 20th. If you enjoy Mystery Pucks, that's awesome. But if you look over my shoulder right here, last season they started doing this, Mystery Christmas Ornaments. So not only the Christmas ornaments, but they are signed. And so they're going to be doing that. And then you can see Eric has in his hot little hands, I believe that's December 10th versus New Jersey. That is the Evander Kane bobblehead night. And I believe that's a promo pack night, right?
Yes, that is.
Yeah, so you have to get the promo pack in order to get boxing Evander Kane. And Sunday, the 23rd versus Arizona. Do you have the other one there?
No, I don't have that one on me.
How do you not have that? Okay, you talk for a minute. I'll get mine.
You get that. All right. So Landy, where are the Canucks from? Never mind.
So British Columbia.
I do believe it is that this one rolls, the 23rd versus Arizona, but you have the Tomas Hertl Christmas suit bobblehead. Wow, his head doesn't bobble that much. I must have got a defective one. No, I'm kidding. He's got to loosen up. He's a little uptight right here now. But yeah, Tomas Hertl in the Christmas suit. You thought a Christmas sweater was bad. Look at this suit, for Christ's sakes.
Hey, that's sharp. Sharp as cheddar.
Right? So anyway, let me see. Oh my God, I will die if I do not get that Hertl. Okay, well, see, there you go. And the game to get that, like I said, Sunday the 23rd versus Arizona. So I think we've done about as much Sharks promotion as we can do for one show. I think it's time to wrap it up here. So I will start with Landy, your final thoughts on where the people can find you on the social media.
Well, you can use my first name, Eric, my last name, Landy. That's Eric with a K, spelt the right way, on all the social media garbage. As far as my last thoughts go, hey, you know what? Let's have a good homestand. Let's try and aim for 5 out of 6, and keep it going.
Absolutely. And I just want to say how much I really appreciate Skylar's comments to Kevin Lacey just a second ago on the chat. Eric, your final thoughts on where the people can find you on the Soch.
Hey, if you guys all want to come up here and have a good time and watch a game, I'm fine, but I'm locking up all my collectibles between you, Lacey, and Landy for sure. But anywho, great way to start off the homestand. They really needed a strong victory tonight. Yeah, it was only 2-1, but hey, why not? 3-1. Sorry, I forgot the empty air with Pabs. But 3-1 tonight, getting back into things. They're only a couple points out of first. Let's get back at it and get back into first place. My name is Eric Hura. Yes, my first name is spelled the right way, E-R-I-K. You can find me on the social at PuckGuy14, wherever you have social media. I usually have PuckGuy14 as the handle. So just check us out there. Don't forget Felix's Hockey Takes on TealTownUSA.com. And you know what? Let's have fun on Tuesday. Back to you, AJ.
Yeah, what he said.
So I am AJ Strong, AJ underscore Strong. I'm sorry. You have to respect that underscore. AJ underscore Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. My final thought being here is take advantage of this long stretch of games. Figure out the issues with the power play. Figure out the issues of integrating Erik Karlsson. Figure out let's get a little more practice in the faceoff circle if we could, especially in the defensive zone. But use this time to your advantage. Remember, you're also going to have Turkey Day injected into the middle of that. So enjoy the time with your family, but also know we have to focus on some stuff and, you know, take advantage. Let's see where we're at after 20 games, quarter way into the poll. Let's figure some stuff out. And for the love of all things turkey, let's get Erik Karlsson a goal before Thanksgiving, okay?
I mean, if somebody's got to just pass him an empty netter, you know?
Yeah, I would say that. If he would have been on the ice tonight when Pavs got that. And let's, you know what, that empty netter, that was not an easy empty netter for Pavelski tonight by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it was not.
I mean, it was pretty sweet. And I look back to seeing, I look forward, I should say, to seeing Couture, Hertl, and Meyer getting back to their wicked ways. So with that, again, thanks for watching. Thanks for joining us. We'll do this after every single Sharks game. Help us out. share the love. Let people know about the show. We'd go live after every single game. Hit the subscribe button. Follow us Twitter, Instagram, and everything is on the website at TealTownUSA.com. And with that, I throw it over to Eric Kura.
Thanks for watching, and we'll see you on Tuesday following the Sharks and the Predators. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Have a good night, everyone.